talk, I mean, this is under for over a year with updates. I have some of like Eric's plat maps and engineer drawings and things like that.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Is there a way to, I guess, get those stored to the cloud so we can get rid of the paper or just
yep,
cleanse the clutter a little bit? I mean, if we can send that out to somebody or...
Yeah, it have to be now.
Yeah.
Be able to read the big enough scanner.
I marked off complete training for new employees with the young lady in the maintenance department. I'm drawing a blank now on her name with her
Patricia.
CDL. Getting her CDL completed, but... I don't think, I mean, we got the new firefighter who we bought on next week, but as far as training, I mean, that's on a separate schedule. Is there any additional training needed?
I think we heard in our last meeting that we'd like to be more aware of the training taking place with our employees. So we can feel that things in the fire department or the maintenance department are continuing to progress, right? So in Matt's report today, you saw somebody completed their paramedic training, which is hired somebody with a paramedic. We have a complete picture of who our staff is, what they might want to do, and who's working on it. It kind of goes back to your first one, just ongoing employee review. And I don't know that all that little things like passwords. You know, that was an issue that I don't know has been...
Yeah, I mean, like, control the social media things. And, I mean, do we need a Instagram or Twitter account?
I hope not, but, you know, maybe we do.
To go back to the training, the thing that I was questioning is when we bring a part-time person on, we're paying their training 100% according to policy. With no commitment, no, you must pass, you must do this, you must do this. So we're handing somebody a check, anticipating that they're going to come back to Montclair Township and put in time. But that person then could, am I right when you were saying it's a policy in place?
It's full-time, it's a policy, but not for part-time.
No, part-time. You can explain it, Harold, because you and I were discussing this.
Well, and I just understand what the chief told me, so...
Oh, you didn't read the policy?
Might need to talk to him when he comes in. Basically, what he was saying was, when we hire a part-time person, if they don't have all of the certifications and so on that we would like to have, we pay for them to get the certifications that we want them to have. But that's been the way it's been done forever. Don't know
it's
that
perk
there's
of
a
the job.
Well, no, there's no commitment.
But I guess the question
there's
is
no
do are we asking for, would we consider a commitment to say, hey, if we're going to pay for your paramedics training,
well,
which
this is just an EMS basic fire girl who's going over to Owens.
Can we do that with a part-time?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's no rules laid in place. Like with their CDL, you have 3 years. If not, you're going to be back. So there's no rules put in order for the person. We just paid $1,500 to go to Owens. There is no commitment or no written agreement or nothing signed. It's like you're going to pay for her for, and she's probably a wonderful girl. I'm getting me wrong. You said you've been doing this forever. But a lot of times this is what happens when it goes on forever and then nobody comes back and all of a sudden I'm looking at checks going, why are we spending $1,500 at Owens for a part-time person to get her Fire 1 or Fire 2 or EMS, whatever it is, and there's no commitment. She could get her class and say thank you very much, and so she could work at another fire station. No recourse that Montclair has to recoup tuition fees for anybody that we do this for.
Yeah, let's
yes
start.
Or no, I guess that's the question.
I think that's something I would like to explore putting it in the policy that, you know, depending on the dollar amount, you know, getting them at least a commitment. I mean, we don't want them to get their training and 6 months later, bye.
They could do that.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing in writing. There's nothing, hey, I'd like to take this class. She signs up, we write the tuition check and send it on his way. And I'm sure it's happened not even with this person, but I'm paying a little bit more attention because I hear there is a training budget that seems to be getting spouted, and then there's no more for a full-time fire department to go ahead and utilize any money in that account to further our full-time paramedics or full-time personnel money, because there's only a certain pie, correct, of full-time tuition for training?
Well, and the issue, I think the issue that you heard about that was of concern to you, that we denied some full-time firefighters training.
Mm-hmm.
We had 7 people sign up all at one time, and we're just not... Who budgets for that much training?
Yeah, it's our full-time personnel.
Right, we just weren't prepared for a full-time staff when we hire a full-time staff.
Exactly.
So the budget...
We don't even have the schedule that would allow 7 people probably to take training. It was hard for our maintenance department to pull off CDLs.
Right.
But what I'm hearing for the second time now is that this board would like more information about our plans to train our employees, and we may need to formalize some of that. Trudy's talking about an if-com. If we pay for something part-time and then they quit, we're out $1,500. Now, I'd like to know how many times that person was on a run. I don't think we've ever been out $1,500. I think that the employee that got the training then benefited the township. So if there's time, I'd like to know what part-time employees over the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years took training and how many of them departed upon immediately finishing their training. I think that shouldn't be that hard to guesstimate.
Okay,
it doesn't have to
maybe,
be perfect.
I'm going
to
go back again. Why not
I'm
just
sorry.
Simply sign it? It's like you would anything else.
I mean,
what?
I didn't hear you.
I'm going to say, if it's a policy, we should have that person commit to Mount Clovis Township.
That's what I started with. We're looking at training and putting a formal policy into place, but I also want some facts. I don't want to hear about the what if. I want
to
hear
how many people
actually did what you just suggested, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say nobody's done that. That's why this has worked so well. And maybe I'm wrong.
So legally, would it not be amiss, though, to try to put them in place, since this is something that has always been
that was on the list?
You're full time.
No.
No.
I said train for all our employees, and I'm not limiting it to fire.
Right.
Let's get a consistent policy.
100%.
That's what I said.
With the maintenance part, for example, like I know they get a special certification to apply herbicides.
Yep.
Would that something have to be added to the contract? If we say, hey, we're going to pay for this training and we want you to stay for 12 months after the training?
Well, we need to look at that, because right now the only for the CDL, when we send somebody for the CDL, we've got that on that agreement thing. We would just have to create a similar agreement for somebody that's going to take pesticide training and just have them sign the agreement.
Yeah, if it's less than $1,000, I wouldn't worry about it. But it's something that's
right. When they put the policy together, we can evaluate all that. I think we had a tough time getting pesticide training done, so it'd be exciting to get somebody to volunteer to do that.
Well, we can ask that.
And this is also a special project that's sort of it could be heavily consumed his time, right?
Yeah.
Right, it's a new project we're adding on, but I think it's important for the township to better understand their employees. And Paul Rasmussen has reached out recently about doing some work for the township. We might be able to ask him in a consulting kind of way to do some of these special projects for us.
So just to make this clear, I'm not judging our full-time employees. I want our full-time employees to take underground at the maintenance, chainsaw safety, all that stuff. I want every single person to be eligible full-time to be stuff. The fire department, our full-time personnel, I want them to be able to take classes that falls within their categories anytime they want without saying there's no funds for it. So I'm just saying if there's funds for it part-time, but they, Barbara, you may be right. There might never have been a person. But running a business, the ifs, I try to cover the dot the I's and cross the T's, so when that happens, there's something already in place. So there might not be.
We can't let seven people go get the same training at the same time,
but it
irregardless of budget.
I understand that. But the
running business means we have to have firefighters here.
I feel, I'm just saying, that the budget for training for the maintenance for the fire department is low.
Well, we'll have Gavin involved and figure out what that's been and how we can grow it.
All right. I want to, Harold, you got enough direction there?
I think so.
Okay. The township branding, I left a message for Jerry Miller last week as well, and he did not call me back. So I don't know. Do we want to do something on our own there?
Harold said he hadn't talked to him.
I mean, Jennifer has ghosted us.
I'm. I got to talk to ODOT and see what we might be able to do. But I just don't. It doesn't look to me like
Miller's
going to come through.
They're
the ones that approached us.
I see Kokosing has moved most of all of their equipment there from that. I understand it's at Casey's, or maybe Eric can find out who bought that lot. It's going to build the gas station there.
Yep, Eric knows.
So if there's a contact there we'll do something. Maybe just on that side.
We could look at that
in lieu of ODOT's fence.
Yeah, but last meeting Harold said he would reach out to ODOT and he had an idea that might work without anyone else involved. So, Harold, let's actually accomplish that this time.
Okay.
When ODOT says no, we can explore partnerships.
Edison still sounds like Victor Tanson.
Well, I do now have, they have now acknowledged all 62 of the
outages.
Yes. So now they have acknowledged all of them. The concerning part to me is I asked Victor, so will we be notified as these are being repaired? And he said no. So I said, so the only way we're going to find out about it fixed is if we go out and drive around, look for them, and see if it's or not. Well, apparently that's it.
Or we get people complaining, hey, there's a white light where a yellow light used to be.
I would expect that one, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of sorry, but it is what it is. So.
I mean, are they, it's on the list, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, sometime
well,
this year?
What Victor told me was, he said, if it's just a bulb that's out, or the fixture at the pole is, there's something wrong with it, those should be fixed very, very quick, according to Victor. If it's a pole that's down, or if it's an underground fault, you know, wires in the ground that are
broken.
And so a light is out, he said those are going to be a long time. Because he said they have a very low inventory of fiberglass poles, and they just don't have poles to come out and replace.
But so we don't know from our survey which ones are just the heads of the whole pole.
Yes, we do. We do.
We do.
Yes, we do.
And how many are the poles?
Oh, I don't remember. Not that many. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. We've got 4 missing poles. 1, 2, 3, 4 missing fixtures. And the rest of the 62 were just lights that are out. So most of those should, according to Victor, be repaired quickly.
I think the real question, Chuck, is how do we stop this process from building up to 62 again? Like, do we just have our maintenance department run through the township with that list? And
well, I was going to say maybe every 90 days.
90 days? I was thinking like every 6 months, but...
Well, it's easier now in the winter with the days shorter.
It is.
If not, it's all overtime.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all overtime.
Right. So it's a return on investment question.
When he's got the hoe
so
throughout
right
in different districts and for lights, you've got that sickle and overtime.
And the other thing Victor said, even ones that will be repaired quickly, he said they repair them in the order in which they were received, and not just our list, but everybody in their entire maintenance area.
You wouldn't want to do it efficiently.
So,
want to do it.
Yeah, so they could be driving from Monclova to North Toledo back to Monclova,
uh-huh.
Which...
But we're not going to fix First Energy
no.
in this conversation. So all I'm saying is, you're right, this should only be done in the dark. So we'll, is when we should do another van before the time. So sometime after November, before the time change happens again.
Yeah.
Maybe twice a year our maintenance department goes out in the most cost-effective way Doug can come up with to keep us so we're not at 62
again. Right. So maybe 1st of December?
Right. Like... I mean, it's not even light by 7 o'clock, is it?
I
don't know my times that well
yeah.
right now. It seems
what's
like it's
the,
dark
all winter. What's the
shortest
day of the year? When's the
December 22nd.
The vernal equinox, is it?
I was just a little disappointed. I mean, why couldn't they, when they fix a broken street light, shoot an email back to the person that reported it out and say, it's fixed.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, like
they,
I said, we'll probably get some calls with the white lights for replacing
yellow. Yeah. So I'm suggesting we do it at least two more surveys and
yeah.
see if we can get this under control.
Right. Okay. Anything from all me and Jed? Okay.
Nope.
And we also established a new Jed. No, we got a new parcel in a Jed
yeah.
and asked that you take care of
I
that.
I added
so.
That to the
oh,
list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not following
We're on
the
it.
List.
Yep. The property owner was on record saying you do. Local government fund, Matt. Mike Hampton and I had another meeting last week with the Metro Parks. You know, they're not opposed to having the discussion and certainly want to work with us, but if the pie is bigger from Columbus, you know, it makes it a more palatable discussion.
Right. I sent you the email
right.
from Kyle Brooks and I forwarded it to Mike Hampton. Kyle Brooks will be at the Clout meeting Friday, so Mike can talk to him personally about how... The doesn't ever get bigger here.
You want to tell him who Kyle Brooks is?
He's the OTA
yeah.
government.
Ohio
yeah.
Township Association
yeah.
personnel.
Matt, a couple things. So we had a discussion in here regarding training a little before he came in. The full-timers, it's in the policy that for certain certifications and training that they have a time commitment. I think the board generally is in favor of looking at something similar for part-time. Two things. Do we know we've had part-timers in the past who have taken advantage of the training and then have gone on to other departments? Or is this a policy we can move forward with based on the cost?
For, you know. For the part-time and the paper call that we've had, we have lost some of the people. I mean, it hasn't been like right after a training has happened or anything like that with it. But that, again, that was in the past when we didn't have the career pathway. Now we have a little bit of a pathway for them to hopefully stay here. But we can certainly, you know, when we have that in our paramedic reimbursement program, where they have the reimbursement paid back over 2 years, that's open to the full-time and the part-time. And then the other classes have historically not had that.
Yeah.
But it certainly is something that we can add to.
And something else that I just thought of, and maybe we could work this into the same way, that if we pay for somebody's, you know, whatever training, and they're not meeting their shift requirement, a part-timer, well, that could be a trigger of not default, whether you want to pay it.
Yeah, I think we're just looking for a comprehensive training program that helps elevate our personnel, gives them a career path, gives them additional skills, make sure our residents are being served to the fullest. To wing it right now doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You and Harold, maybe with Dawn, need to figure out a plan.
Yeah, or maybe the Ohio
with
Fire
Dawn
Chief
too.
Has got something.
Yeah.
Some of the resources we can plagiarize or...
And we want to be, this is, I really started, we want to be, we, the board wants to be aware of where our employees fall in this training spectrum. You know, that you have great shifts put together of these people and three of those people are working. We just want an overall view of what's happening via training. You did a nice job in your report.
Maybe even something as simple as an Excel.
That's what
I'm
thinking.
Josh Stagner has got XYZ training, ABC training, boat training.
You have to have it anyway.
I mean,
we have a list, of who's achieved what training.
So I have a question, because now that you brought that up, like there are two or three individuals that were mentioned that obtained their paramedics license. No, one is our full-time employee. Yeah, in his report. One of them is our full-time employee. The other one was a full-time employee who left. And the other one's a part-time employee who's working full-time at another department. I don't know if they're even doing their shift coverage. So you mentioned that we have three people who obtained their paramedics. Have we supplemented any of those two part-timers with their paramedic things now that one's full-time at another fire station and one's full-time at a second fire station? Have we paid for their paramedic training, or did they pay for it on their own?
No, all but the full-time employee who was hired under the safer grant.
Right.
And that one, he paid for most of it, but continued training while we hired him.
Okay.
So you have to do some other reimbursement for
100%.
But the other two did not submit for the part-time reimbursement.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
So you're talking about Jacob Bruce,
he's our full-time,
Parmalee, and Dylan Turner.
Correct.
So I just was wondering if the township supplemented any of their paramedic because they're on our top part-time shifts, but they're working full-time at different fire stations. So they didn't ask to draw
so
anything
when,
from us.
When you say, and we'll be beginning our onboarding and field training for their new EMS certifications, actually two of those people won't be doing that because they don't work here?
No, all three are in Dylan has had some time off with the family medical issues that he's had.
Okay.
He's not been signing up, but
you expect him to return to work.
Expect him to return to work.
And
yes,
Lucas
and we'll
is also on board.
Lucas, while he was finishing up paramedic training, he didn't sign up too regularly, but he worked some shifts.
But they must
here.
Have said to you, yes, we'll be beginning our onboarding and field training. They have agreed to it in some way?
So, well, it's just a process that we have now for when they transition from one level to the next. We have an orientation that we do that goes over their paramedic skills, and we have a field training program where they ride with another person of that same certification level as the mentor field trainer, and they have to conduct 15 patient assessments and reports under that supervision.
And you expect everyone on that list to do that?
Yes.
No one said, I'm not coming to you.
No, I mean, like I said, Dylan, the last I talked to him was probably a month or so ago about, you know, how things were doing.
I just needed a right. You expect him to come.
Right. No, but yes, Lucas is backwards. He started his process. Jacob started his process.
Okay. I asked Matt to come in just to give us a summary before we get into the meeting about your proposed hire.
Sure. So as I mentioned in the report and what I sent you, he's a resident of Grand Rapids, Ohio. He's got 20 years of experience in the fire and EMS field. He began as a volunteer firefighter with White House and progressed through the ranks there, got his EMT, and progressed through to his paramedic. He's worked full-time in White House in Springfield Township. He was a dispatcher for a little while, too. And most recently, he's got 6 years in working for the City of Toledo's Fire Prevention Bureau. So he comes to us with a very strong working knowledge and skills in the fire prevention field. He is also a fire and EMS instructor. So for him to gravitate to some of the public education thing that we do will not be very difficult jump for him as well. He already has quite a bit of an established relationship with some of the building and code officials, the state fire marshal inspector, and some of the, you know, the county and the city building people. So he brings a lot of good job knowledge to us.
What was his main interest in coming to Monclova?
Just the period of the fire prevention side, and then their pension system was different with the city of Toledo, so we have a little pension, I think, here on the full time side. So
really, it's not all one big state pension.
The city of Toledo, there's civilian people working in the inspection bureau, so they're not in the police and fire pension.
Oh, okay.
So they're under a PERS, isn't a bad pension either, but
no, it's not police and
police and fire is a little, in my experience so far.
Now, this person will not be under the contract, correct?
The fire safety inspector is not under the contract currently, correct?
Okay. So do we need to negotiate an executive vacation, or is all that worked out with the committee and your Younger?
We have basically the standard things that we've employed before, the full-time from the township handbook, as far as the vacation, the sick leave rates, and that. We will need to probably just do, we posted $30 to $33 per hour as the wage rate, based on experience and qualifications. So that would be the only thing that we would need to set. And then I will also need to, once we have his start date set, we do need to have a resolution from the board that appoints him as a fire inspector. Part of the revised code, we have to have that.
And he has to give a couple day weeks notice, or with the city?
He has asked for a 30-day notice to be given to that, some of which he can take care of, some of the things like the pension physical on that during the time he's still working. But in his current position, he is like the software person for the fire prevention side, so he wants to have time to be able to train as a replacement. And he's also currently on a project that he'd like to bring to the end, or at least get somebody up to speed to be able to bring it to the end. So
sounds like he can handle our training spreadsheet.
We already have the training.
Office space.
The current space that we have is still, other than just straightening it up and getting rid of some of those radios, we have to get unprogrammed.
Okay.
Before we're able to
work. Scott was that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The thing I've learned through this fire, growing a fire department, is you guys move around a lot. If I moved around, I think bankers might move around a lot too. What do you think, Chuck?
Well,
Gavin. But
I only,
we don't move around
a lot. Three
times.
I work for 9 banks, but only applied 3 times.
No, they change names. So the banks are what changes, yeah. Not the employees.
At times, people do, yes.
Because of growth or whatever, right?
Growth of money, and sometimes, and opportunity. I mean, that's some of the other reason why we had some, including like the lateral transfers that we've had. They just see us growing and see us developing and want to be part of that. But the goal is to try to get these retention people, get them here, and get them to make this a home and a career.
So you need an executive session to, if he accepts on the meeting and do move forward with this, your nation, to offer a salary, or is that something you bring back to us after discussion, or
I mean, the last resolution that we did had that inside the resolution.
That range,
so,
yeah.
So if, I mean, we can certainly have an executive session if we need that for that. Otherwise, for the next, once I can get with him and we can confirm a date that we can set for him, I will be able to have that resolution ready for either the next meeting or the meeting following that. I would anticipate it being ready for the next meeting. And then that would, the former resolution that we had that listed, had salary, vacation.
So with the 30-day notice, November 1st, we could potentially look at
somewhere in there. Shouldn't be very difficult. I mean, if, towards the end of October, I would think would be pretty close.
Okay. Any questions?
The salary range is pretty small, so, and it's based on experience. He has a vast amount of experience.
Yeah, 27 years. Yeah.
Right. So. I don't know that there's any reason we all need to debate that. But.
Right. If you negotiate in that price range, that's I'm what I'm hearing from Barbara. I'm good with. I don't, Trudy, but
okay.
Somewhere in that range, if he's agreeable, and
if he says 29,
just don't start at the high end.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any updates on the building plans?
Other than the RFR that went out, or just been getting some of those back. I would assume seeing some of the people in his office.
What are we queuing?
I'll let Dawn explain because she explains it better than me.
A request for qualifications has to be done. This is by statute. It has to be submitted. Has to be requested. Entities that are actually interested in learning more about doing the project and doing the project, they have to send their qualifications in. You have to select the most qualified entity that submits their RFQ, and then they get to start the process of looking at the project and submitting their proposal. It's an additional step, very similar. And then if they are just way out of the ballpark and they're just overqualified and you can't afford it, you get to move to your second choice and take a and not have to spend the highest dollar. That's how the process works. It's not go the cheapest. It's most qualified to do the job of building a fire house.
Why haven't you used this process in the past?
I have no idea. I've not participated in the past. So.
Well, we just say, let's talk to our architect. And
well, they had to...
There's a difference between a build from scratch and a remodel. The process of what you're doing is completely different. And if you just tried to separate everything and not... you're just putting out an exact thing for bid. It's pretty easy if you're going to build a salt storage thing. Yeah. You just have an architect draw it up and then you bid it out. This remodel... is completely different.
So to be the same as if we decided to do something with the church, the same process on a remodel?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all the things we've done, and maybe it is like one-off sort of things.
Yeah, what else have we done?
Lights.
Never did them, did we?
Yeah.
We did some. We didn't do the HVAC.
We didn't do the HVAC.
Not really a remodel, it's like a retrofit.
I don't know.
I emailed out the latest I updated is today, but there's some things that have been on here for quite some time that here have an action on. I'll ask all of you some of this, annexation status, Lexapol Fire Department, January of 23. I mean, some things in there. If you could all take a look at this and some things that are not highlighted, you know, if we should remove them from the list or update those, you know, let's see if it addresses fire department house funds. I mean, I don't know, is that, I mean, just, it's all in the list here, yeah. So, take a look at those and shoot those to me in an email, and I will update this and send it back out to Kathleen for the, under new business, I was just going to give a summary of the DAC meeting last week.
You want to tell them what the DAC meeting is?
The District Advisory Council for the Health Department. So the health department is encumbering themselves to the tune of $5 million and allocating that cost proportionally to all the townships and cities.
For the building, the diocesan building?
$2.5 million purchase and then $2.5 million for renovations. And then,
what's happening to the, well, you can tell us out there.
Yeah. So our five-year nut is $40,800. They negotiate a loan at 5 3/8 with Genoa Bank. No prepayment penalty. $2.5 million up front, $2.5 million after 6 months. The only question would be, you're getting 4.5 at Star Ohio. Do we want to pay our, you know, it's costing us a percent, basically. Prepay our portion on $200,000.
Yeah, we can look at it.
Would they be able to do that? Would they be able to figure that out?
Well, that's why I asked them. They said, you know, if rates go down, you know, there's no prepayment penalty, and they're like, said they can negotiate, you know, if there's a lower rate. I mean, but then Star's going to go down too. So, but basically, it costs us a percent on $200,000 over 5 years.
Yeah, we can look at that.
That's it.
Well, we'll add it to the agenda.
We don't need any session, I don't believe, on anything.
Oh, shoot. That means that Isabella still can't get it right. She gets to go leave sooner. Yeah.
Any other zoning file?
Zoning file. I will take you out to the meeting room.
You get to have an early evening.
Yeah.